begin by saying a heartfelt thank you for your warm welcome. In a few short weeks, I have been made to feel very much a part of the St. John's family. And for that, my deepest thanks. Let us pray. May the one who speaks and those who listen together discern what in these words may be the word of God for us in this hour. Amen. An Episcopalian friend of mine who worships at the slightly bigger St. John's in Manhattan posted the following comment on Facebook a few days ago. I quote Kelly with his permission. This is what Kelly wrote. This weekend, someone asked me what I was doing for Lent this year. When I realized I hadn't really thought about it, because it feels like last year's Lent never really ended. What else can I possibly give up? I'm sure that is a sentiment shared by many in this year of profound loss. Even a call to greater purity and holiness seems a bit redundant. I mean, all the interesting sins require other people, and we can get nowhere near them. So many of us are feeling stuck, trapped in limbo, mourning the loss of our former lives, travel, time with friends, dining out, even time with children and parents, simple hugs, all these fade into the rearview mirror. These losses make it very hard to settle into our usual Lenten practices. I mean, really? In addition to all these losses, are we really supposed to give up chocolate too? These questions remind me of what Bill said in our sermon reflections last week. This year, more than ever, we need to be mindful of what Lent is really about. We dare not try to navigate Lent by autopilot this year. So let us turn to our gospel reading with expectant hearts. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." That's twice now in 2 weeks that we have heard in our New Testament readings a voice from heaven. Last week, that voice spoke to Peter, James, and John, saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." This week, that voice speaks directly to Jesus. "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The church fathers and mothers teach us that everything that happens to John prefigures what will happen to us because we are called to be Christ's body. So we are baptized as he was, and we share also in his cross and in his resurrection. What this means is that those words spoken to Jesus are meant also for us. The Lenten scriptures begin by reminding us that we too are God's children. We too are God's beloved, with whom God is well pleased. This should be for us a source of great comfort, because we are reminded that nothing we do or fail to do in these next 6 weeks is about earning divine approval. Jesus received God's seal of approval before he began his ministry, not after it. The same is true for us. That means we don't have to set out to fix ourselves. In Lent, we are not setting out on yet another self-improvement project to curry divine favor. That favor is already given. We are, by virtue of God's tender creation, already the beloved children of God. We live in a culture that deliberately sets out to make us unhappy with who we are. We are told in subtle and not so subtle ways that there's always more we can do or buy to make ourselves more marketable, improve our net worth, and burnish our brand. Capitalism would crumble if we human beings were actually content with who we are, if we did not have to prove ourselves to our bosses or buy the latest Apple gizmo to keep the market. This entire planet-devouring way of life would come to a grinding halt. So we are driven to dwell in a constant state of dissatisfaction, and retail therapy is the only cure. I worry that our Lenten practices can be so easily hijacked by this entire prove-your-worth culture. So it is well that we begin Lent by hearing God's word spoken to Jesus as spoken also for us. This is my child in whom I am well pleased. What does it mean to hear those words, truly hear them? Patrick, Penny, Patricia, Rhoda, you are the beloved of God, in whom God is well pleased. That is the overwhelming yes with which we begin every Lenten season. Now, what if the work of Lent is learning to say no to every message that tries to tell us that we are not the beloved of God? What would Lent look like if it was one great 40-day refusal to hear, believe, and act on anything that tries to tell us that we are not God's beloved, that we are not precious in God's eyes? Don't you hear those voices? Voices that deny your innate worth and then tempt you to prove and establish your own worth. What do those voices sound like to you? Here are some of the voices I hear. John, you will not be who you are meant to be if you aren't constantly up to date on the latest news. John, you aren't meant. You aren't at your best if your resting pulse rate isn't below 60 beats per minute. Now, don't worry, I'm too lazy to actually listen to that voice. John, you really ought to be a more prolific author. You're in your mid-50s and you've only published 2 books. Tempting voices. Sometimes the really dangerous temptations take subtler form. God wants you to be more spiritual. God wants you to be an even fiercer social justice warrior. Now that sounds good, motivating, and tempting, but also wrong. Wrong if we are driven to take up spiritual disciplines as a means of earning God's approval. As with Jesus, God's seal of approval comes first. The rest of our lives are a glad and joyful response to God's yes. But if we already have God's love, does that mean we need not commit ourselves to the traditional practices of fasting, prayer, and almsgiving? I think not. Let us return to our gospel reading for further insight. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. When I hear that passage, I will confess to you that I'm driven to be a bit mouthy with God "Wait, hold the phone, Lord. What is this? Is this how you treat your beloved? You tell your son that he is beloved, then you send your spirit to drive him out into the wilderness to be tested by Satan? Holy One, if that's what you do to your son, what can we expect?" Here we come face to face with a mystery that we can never fully comprehend. Without trying to explain that mystery, let us linger before it and let the mystery examine us. First, Mark seems to be saying that we are never alone in our temptation, and facing them is never a solo operation. Christian life is not a DIY, do-it-yourself spirituality. When God brings Jesus before Satan, the angels wait on him. So it shall be with us. We too shall not be left alone to fend for ourselves when confronted by temptation. Second, Mark seems to be saying that confronting temptation is a natural, inevitable, and necessary part of spiritual life. Why should that be? The answer lies in a verse we heard on Ash Wednesday. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The question for Lent, the question posed by every temptation we face is, where is your treasure? Where is your heart? In Lent, love asks us whether we really and truly mean to live by love alone. Love speaks to us tenderly. "Dear one, you are made for me, and in me you will find rest, joy, delight, and your deepest flourishing. I will give myself to you if you will give yourself to me." That is love's delightful and joyous invitation. It really is. But it can also be felt as a terrifying demand. Why? Love's invitation sometimes feels like an invitation to jump out of a plane without a parachute. An invitation to free fall. And it is. God invites us to leap into free fall, trusting that we will be carried upward by the currents of love and grace. But to trust, really trust, means that God invites us to surrender inadequate parachutes of our own fashioning. Holy parachutes, I mean H-O-L-E-Y, that are never going to bring us in for a soft and trustworthy landing. Sometimes in our anxieties and fears, we try to live by whatever promises some small measure of comfort and soothing. These can become our addictions, our false comforts and consolations. A small example from my own life. Sometimes when I'm struck out of the blue by an uncomfortable, painful feeling or memory, I find myself reaching for my smartphone to distract myself by checking my social media feed or the latest news. Now that is no grave sin, but it is a small example of the principle, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Lent is a period in which, by God's grace, we try to free ourselves from such false comforts. We try to live by so much else other than love. We try to live by grit, self-reliance, perseverance, hard work, trust in the powers of our effort and intellect. And none of those things are intrinsically corrupt or sinful. They just won't do. They are not what we're made for. And so we must surrender our reliance on them. That is the meaning of our Lenten disciplines. So what if this Lent, We try to hear love's calling. The Holy One desires to make themselves known to you. The Beloved calls you beloved and invites you to join in the dance and free fall of love. But the Divine Spirit who drives us into the wilderness also invites us to surrender the false consolations that we rely on. Temptations of self-reliance, reputation, fame, distraction, consumerism, pride, and a thousand other temporary treasures that simply will not do. That, as Stephanie told us on Ash Wednesday, is the ultimate spring cleaning. These are some of the things we say no to in order that we might rest more fully and completely in our divine beloved. And whom might we become at the end of all this spring cleaning? Like our brother Jesus Christ, we can become the people who come out of the wilderness and proclaim in power to this broken but beautiful world. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news of love's arrival. Amen.